Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Melissa Bilardi, your host on Help for HD and the March for HDSA series. Every Monday this month, we are showcasing some extraordinary information about what HDSA is providing to our HD community. First, let's give thanks to Lundbeck for bringing us Xenazine, the first FDA-approved drug for chorea associated with Huntington's disease, and for supporting Help for HD. Special thanks to you, our 4,800-plus listeners. Without you, we would not have a show, so thank you, everyone. Please call in for questions on two phone lines, 310-982-4227, and our toll-free number is 877-497-4103. When you call in, press 1, and I'll cue you into the show. Please tell all your friends and family about the show and click follow on our show page to get email reminders of upcoming shows. I do have a couple of announcements tonight, and I wish to express my sincere and heartfelt sympathy to BJ View and his family as his mom lost her battle with Huntington's disease last night. Please go to BJ's Facebook page about her service information. BJ, we love you and pray that you can get through this time of sorrow by celebrating her life and all the joy she brought to you, your family and friends. So the Huntington's disease, the Huntington's study group actually invited me to speak to their HD communications group last week about Help for HD. I was supremely honored to be included in a conference with some of the most brilliant minds on the planet. We think that Help for HD may be able to bring more awareness about clinical studies and trials to our HD community. Look for programs in May, June, and July introducing principal investigators of HSG to give us some very important information. A good friend of mine, James Salvano, and I have launched a Facebook group called Help for HD, Help HSG Awareness. The focus of this Facebook group will be to gather feedback and ideas from HDers, our wonderful HD community, who have experienced the clinical trial process on Facebook. So if anyone has had either positive or negative experience with clinical trials, we'd love to hear from you. Go to Help for HD, Help HSG Awareness on Facebook. Our incredible special guest tonight is Fred Taubman, who is Director of Marketing, Development, and Communications at HDSA National in New York. Fred is in charge of marketing strategies to increase awareness and build fundraising dollars to support research, resources, treatment, and cure for HD families, as well as website marketing standards for all HDSA materials and communications. That's a lot of job there. Awesome job, Fred. Welcome to the show. How are you
Thanks,
tonight?
Melissa. I'm well, and the first thing I'd like to do is echo my sentiments and those of everybody at HDSA to the View family. You know, Debbie was just an inspiration, obviously, and obviously an incredible mother of anybody who has ever met Emily or BJ or is aware of what they've contributed to the community. And, you know, our hearts and our thoughts are totally with Brian and Emily and BJ at this point. So I just had to mention that.
Thank you.
They're certainly one of the preeminent families in terms of HDSA. And anybody who attends our convention coming up in June in Minnesota, we'll see some of the efforts of these great folks who will be hosting the convention.
And I hope we'll hear all about it.
Absolutely.
Yes. So Fred, tell us about yourself and how did you come to HDSA?
Well, Melissa, I've been in marketing and advertising for all of my life, and about 6.5 years ago or so, I was doing some projects for some different companies, and a colleague of mine came to me and said, you know, there's this organization for disease you may never have heard of who's looking for somebody who has kind of the set of skills that you have. Would you be interested in talking to them? So I went and had to chat with a number of people involved, including, of course, Barbara Boyle, and was struck by, you know, Huntington's disease, what it was, what it did to people, of course. I had heard of Huntington's disease. I knew that Woody Guthrie had died of Huntington's disease. I knew it was a neurological disease, but that was the sum total of what I knew at that time. So I was invited to join the organization, which I did, and besides being challenged by the work, became completely enchanted isn't really the right word, but it's the one I can think of right now, with the members of the community, how supportive they were of each other, and also this incredible mixture of scientists, clinicians, family members, friends, and things that made up the community. It wasn't segregated or striated like a lot of communities I had seen. Everybody was really together. So I started working at HDSA. It'll be 6 years in June, and here I am talking to you today.
Great. So let's talk about HDSA. Who is HDSA, and what do you offer?
Well, Huntington's Disease Society of America, we see ourselves as the primary representative of the families who are affected by HD, directly or indirectly. And as such, we see ourselves having certain basic goals, one of which is to be the primary and preeminent provider of information on HD to anybody interested. And I think the most important part of my job is almost in an educational function, which is to seek out all the information there is about Huntington's disease, whether it be research-oriented, whether it be care-oriented, whether it be social-oriented, and then distribute that information, make it available to people in the community, and provide support for whatever else they need. Certainly our national website, hdsa.org, is the linchpin of all of these efforts, and we hope people go to the website regularly. And on the website, as I know you're familiar with, we have information about the disease itself, about the research that's going on, things about living with Huntington's disease. So we have all kinds of resources available, from publications to listings of governmental agencies, local genetic testing centers, of course, facilities like our HDSA Centers of Excellence, but also listings of doctors in areas where we don't have centers of excellence, and other support resources for caregivers as well as people with HD.
It's the most inclusive website I've ever come across, and in fact, I try to go there at least once a day just to look and see what's new, and it seems the amount of information is growing exponentially on the site. In fact, when I went to the site map, I was astounded at how much you've added to the site. So, and it's not something you can grasp in one visit. You need to go back regularly, you know, throughout the week, month, you know, day even, to really grasp the amount of information and resources and services that you provide. But Fred, tell us why is marketing development and communication so vital to HDSA and to our HD community?
Well, I think for a lot of reasons, Melissa, you know, one of which is, as you and everybody else in the community knows, we're a relatively rare disease, you know, with smaller numbers of people than the big ones that people talk about all the time, whether it be cancer or heart disease or Alzheimer's. There's been this aura of anonymity in the HD community for many, many years where people didn't want to talk about it, so even close friends may not have been aware that HD was in a family. And then there's the competition with all the other diseases out there that are looking, you know, for help, whether it be financial support or volunteers to help with events and things. So it's important that Huntington's disease, under HDSA's imprimatur, be marketed properly so people understand what it is, why it's important, even if you don't have Huntington's disease in your family, and all the different kinds of things you can do to help. Obviously, you can write a check to make a donation. You can participate in an event. But there's all kinds of things, other kinds of ways you can help. Lots of times we have people who need to get to an appointment either for a clinic visit or for a clinical trial visit. Well, you know, if maybe you're retired or you have a day off or something and you can drive somebody to the clinic, that is a very valuable thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, so, you know, it goes from the major to the relatively minor, all of which are important. And the other thing is that as a genetic disease, there have been some interesting tests done in the marketing world, and when people look at an ad or hear a pitch or watch something on video and it mentions genetics, a genetic disease, and it's one they're not at risk of having, they turn off to it. So we really have to do a lot to tell our story, to explain to people
right.
why it's important.
So you have to stay innovative with your marketing approach and your communications approach. How do you stay innovative?
Well, you know, fortunately, I work as part of a small but really great team, and so we're constantly talking about, you know, first of all, what information there is and what developments there are and how we can best communicate those, whether it's through the website, whether it's through one of the many videos that we're starting to do more and more of, whether it's doing a viral marketing thing. Hearts for Huntington is a fundraising program that came out of St. Louis a number of years ago. A young woman, a member of the Turner family, did it as a business project in her high school, you know, selling hearts to people for a dollar to put a wish on the heart
yeah.
or something. A lot of our chapters got interested. We've done that for the last several years as a February event, but we've also done a viral version where you can email a heart to somebody, and they can then take that heart and email it to somebody else. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, between new technological resources, between the advance of Facebook and Twitter and other social marketing venues, we're out there doing whatever we can. But most importantly, we're listening to the families, and we're constantly responding to feedback about the types of information people want them and how they are distributed, and distribute them in multiple ways, because
mm-hmm.
for some people it may be best to read a long paper. For other people it may be best to watch a 2 or 3 minute video. For other people, it may be best to participate in a forum, and we have forums mm-hmm. on our website.
So what kind of feedback do you get? Have you some
positive, some negative, most of which is, you know, you talked about this, what does this mean? And that's, for example, when we, in our research section, when we get an announcement about some new research development, whether it be at the basic level or at the clinical trial level, along with the announcement from the company or the scientist, we always put a commentary on what this means to the families. This is a very exciting development, but it's got these kind of stages to go through, for example,
mm-hmm.
or it could turn into a therapeutic, but realistically it's going to take X number
now,
of years.
Now, if somebody wanted to maybe suggest something that they think might be helpful on your website, how would they go about doing that? Do you have a
We have a generic contact email, uh-huh. which is hdsainfo@hdsa.org,
okay.
and that's kind of generic email for people who either don't know someone specifically they want to write to, or if they want to write in anonymously, whatever. And every day, several times a day, one of our people goes through those emails, distributes them to the appropriate person on the staff. So if it's something about the website or marketing, it would come to me. If it was something about a caregiver program,
right.
it would go to Deb. If it was something about one of the chapters, it would go to Nancy Rhodes, or something on kind of a bigger picture, it would go to Louise. And so we're constantly, I'd say we probably get 8 or 10 emails through that email address every day.
Mm-hmm. So you're accessible to us if we wanted to see something happen.
Absolutely. And then there's also the 800 number, 800-345-HDSA. That operates during our hours of operation, where it operates during 9 to 5 New York time, even though many of us are there a lot later and earlier. But, you know, again, people should feel free to call if they have a specific problem or a specific question. They're looking for a resource in their locale, or they want to know something, or they heard about some trial, or they heard something in the grapevine. They want to know if that's real or not. You know, that's what we're there for. We're there to provide resources and information for the families.
Good to know. Let's talk about research real quick for a minute. I'll have to break in. It's already 15 minutes in almost, and then we can talk a little bit more about it. But HDSA is really the first resource that I found, and I was thrilled to be able to, you know, plug right in and be contacted by HDSA to help me. So I was incredibly impressed with that. But more important, I was looking into the research, and I'd like to know what's new and promising with research.
Well, I think if you look at our website on the homepage today, there's everything from an article about polyphenols that have been derived from grapes that Marcia Miller did that has potential down the road to be somewhat effective therapeutically. There's an interview with Graham Bilby, who is the chief neurological researcher at Novartis, by our partners at HD Buzz, who and Graham talks about the interest of Novartis in neurological diseases in general and in HD in particular. All kinds of other targets we regularly identify. I just attended the CHDI conference, which was very exciting because the focus there now is on actually the mutant Huntington itself, and rather then look at ways to go after symptoms or kind of secondary or tertiary processes. There's a lot of great work being done in terms of how can we reduce the amount of mutant Huntington in a system. Obviously, we need to keep the wild-type Huntington, but they're also looking at the lowest levels of wild-type Huntington that one may have and still be healthy, because Huntington obviously has a responsibility in the bodies of everybody without Huntington's disease,
right.
So that we can't just eliminate Huntington, you know, which would be perhaps, as someone would say, that
right.
Wouldn't that be the easy solution? So a lot of that's gone on, and there are actually some phase 2 clinical trials that should be being announced in the next couple of months.
Okay,
that I think
hold that thought. Let me just break in here just for a second. You're listening to Help for HD, and this is March for HD DSA Month. I'm Melissa, your host, and our incredible special guest tonight is Fred Taubman, Director of Marketing and Development and Communications. Sorry. Our call-in numbers are 310-982-4227 and 877-497-4103. We are streaming live and recording for later listening. You may reach Fred at 800-345-HDSA and www.hdsa.org or F. Taubman, Taubman, at hdsa.org. So let's talk a little bit about clinical trials. Now, you know, all of this information is on your website. All you have to do is go to hdsa.org and look for research and clinical trials. It's all right there, and there's a lot of information to learn about. But let's do talk about clinical trials and which are active.
Sure. Well, right now, in the observational realm, we have PREDICT-HD, which is open to people who have been tested and are gene positive and gene negative. It's a fabulous study that has yielded things like TRACK-HD and other offshoots, and will continue to do it. Cohort, which is, of course, a great observational trial, is going to be segueing into Enroll-HD, which is this new worldwide observational trial, joining our friends in Europe who've had registry going for a number of years, and also a whole new network of sites in South America. So that's very exciting.
Let's tell our listeners what that means.
We will have a worldwide cohort of information on more people than any other disease does at this point. And so that allows scientists to both look at trends and see the kinds of symptoms that people have and when they start to observe the symptoms, and will also be able to see clusters of where people are for future clinical trials and of all kinds of nature. So that's very, very important. It will start in July. Meanwhile, cohort is still going on as always, and you should keep your cohort appointments if you're listening to this and
mm-hmm.
you don't know. But Enroll is very, very exciting.
That's great. So we're going to be joining with other world renowned scientists to work on this study together. Is that how it works?
Absolutely. And, you know, Huntington's is really an international community.
Right.
As an organization, we work, of course, closely with the organization, the Huntington Society of Canada, We've done some joint programs in the past, and we work regularly together, of course, with EHDN, which is the European Huntington's Disease Network, with the IHA, which is the International Huntington Association, and there are patient organizations in about 40 or 50 countries now. Some of them are very tiny, but you know, they're there, and I'm proud to say that many of them use HDSA materials, either linking to our website or actually have for download on our website. Of course, HSG, who you've mentioned, Levine Goodman HD Drugworks, Marsha Miller HD Lighthouse. You know, we look at this as it's the benefit of community for all of us to work together, and just as our scientists work together, in an unprecedented manner, sharing information before it's published, the same as the organizations do. So,
this is great news.
It's really
now, all
great.
The folks that you're talking about have links on the HDSA website, is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
So you can link up with all of these wonderful research people and clinical trial
mm-hmm.
people and see what's going on in our world. There's so much happening now. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
But let's talk about resources, medical, social, government organizations, that kind of thing. Do you have support group information?
Well, absolutely. I know Deb Levecki talked about the 140-plus support groups we have around the country, some of which are affiliated with chapter, some of which are center, some of which are independent, but we do training and provide information to. And, of course, the new newsletter we have, We Are HDSA, which goes out to the support groups. You know, for a lot of people, HDSA is their entree into the HD world. They get a diagnosis or someone in the family gets a diagnosis, and they have no idea what they're looking at. So we've created the website in a manner that it's easy to access for someone in that kind of situation who wants to be able to simply read, okay, what is Huntington's disease? What am I facing? To look in their locale and find out, is there a chapter? Are there other people who I can meet with and who can help me understand what I'm facing and be supportive?
Mm-hmm.
Are there doctors? Are there clinics? Are there genetic resources? What, in terms of Medicare, Medicaid, or Social Security, can I do? And then, of course, certain states have programs of their own. So we try and constantly update the listings of those resources on our site so that no matter where you may be, you can go to the website and find local access to people who can help you, whether it be from a medical point of view, a social point of view. And also with the listings of all the chapters is a name and a phone number of a social worker.
Right.
And they are another great resource. You should call them because they can work with you to find out more specifically what your needs are and help you find the support and the help that you need.
Thank you for mentioning that, because I get several calls a month from the work that I'm doing just on the Central Coast. People from all over are looking for information, and the first place that I point them to is hdsa.org, and look at your area, contact the social worker. That's the first thing I tell them to do, because those social workers are able to plug into the resources that will help them. It's not like going to another social service where they have no idea what you're asking for. So
absolutely, you know, these social
wonderful resource.
understand the needs of the HD family.
Right.
So.
So materials, let's talk about materials. You have brochures, DVDs.
We have materials, brochures. Very excitingly, our new physician's guide is going to be, which is a revised Deb Levecki's been working on for a number of years, is going to be released, I believe, sometime in the next month or so, and
that's
a great resource. But all of our materials, whether they be print or video or interactive, are available on the website. And whereas if you do want the printed copies of them, we do ask a modest fee, which really basically is just a cost to cover the cost of postage. Everything
right.
is available for download. So you have access to materials that cover the gamut from very specific caregiver brochures about such things as feeding and swallowing and bathing and really kind of nuts and bolts things
mm-hmm.
to more theoretical research reports, and everything in between. The other thing that we've been doing, and it's been a real pleasure to collaborate with Charles Sabine and some of the other folks at CHDI, has been we've been doing video postcards from all of the big events. So we have one that's coming out in the next week or so from the CHDI meeting, where Charles explained in lay terms what the importance of the conference was and what the big news coming out of the conference was as well. In terms of our convention, which is our biggest event every year, and which if you can get to, I would strongly recommend you do. It's June 20th.
Hold on here a second, Fred. I think we might have a caller wanting to ask a question.
Oh, of course.
Hold on. Just a second. Hello, this is Melissa. You're on Help for HD.
Hi, Melissa. My name is Laura. Just calling in. Not so much a question, just wanted to say hello. I'm a huge fan of both of your guests, and both of them have been people who are very important in my life and my family's life.
Wow.
And just wanted to comment on what Fred was saying about the website and the resources available.
Well,
and how much I think it's wonderful. Fred, it's Laura Hillard. How are you?
Hi, Laura.
And Dr. Cha is the beloved doctor from Boston that treated my father for several years. And I think that, you know, first and foremost, the HD community is so happy to have him helping us, working with us, and the same thing with Fred. I worked with him when we went to Washington for H.R. 678, now a Senate bill, and are just wonderful people that have made a huge difference in my life.
That's
but,
glad you
called
that. Well, thank you. Thanks
Laura.
For your
comment. Hi, guys. I just wanted to say hi. I tuned in a little late. So
we're so happy to have you on the show. Do you have any questions or other comments that you'd like to share?
Well, of course, every time I see Dr. Cha, I want to know when he's going to come back to practicing with us. But I guess we still need him on the research side, too. So, not really. Just wanted to say hi.
Oh, thank you so much. We appreciate you
calling
in.
Thank you. Have a great night, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. That was neat.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, we have 2 minutes left on our live portion of the show, but we can continue to talk after we go off the live stream, because I know that there's a lot of information that we didn't cover, and there's just so much information. I really want to provide, you know, as detailed information as possible, kind of in a personal way with the voice of HDSA. So what I'll do at this point is I don't want to close the show, of course, but we do have 1 minute remaining on the live portion. So I just want to thank everyone for joining us today, and Fred for joining us. Director of Marketing Development and Communications at HDSA National website is www.hdsa.org. Thank you, Fred, for all this awesome information. You may email Fred at ftaubman, T-A-U-B-M-A-N, @hdsa.org, and me at helpforhd@yahoo.com. And please don't forget to click follow on the blog talk radio site for email reminders of upcoming shows. This is March for HDSA month, so we'll have one more show this month all about HDSA. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. Have a great night, and thanks for tuning in to Help for HD. And we'll just continue to talk a little bit here about 1 minute, and we'll be off the live stream. So let's go ahead and keep talking.
Sure.
We're talking about brochures and DVDs and downloadable information, and the fact that most of that is free. So everyone can...
Well, it's all free. As I said, everything downloadable is free. There are some brochures we print, and if you want them in printed form, all we do is you ask for that you pay for the postage. So.
Right. And you're adding more and more things to that free download as well, I've noticed.
Oh, absolutely, all the time. And, you know, one of the things I know you've already talked about on a previous show, but speaks right to this, is Caregivers Corner webinars. At first, when we talked about webinars, lots of people in the HD community were going, oh, I don't know if I can do that. It's too complicated, because they didn't understand. I was just simply watching something on your computer, like watching a PowerPoint presentation or listening to it. And we've been doing them for a year now, and they've been enormously successful. And just as you do with your show, Melissa, we also archive them. So even though everybody can't be on the live webinar, anybody can access them at any time of the day or night on the website, download them, watch them, and we also burn them onto DVDs, and they've been shown in a lot of support groups and things. So it's just another way we've adopted a technology which is very valuable, very inexpensive, and you know, benefits the organization and most importantly the families. And then we of course use webinars in our training with our staff. When we introduce a new program, or you know, anything of that nature as well, so it's really a valuable tool.
It really is. I've gone to it many times, and I've actually sent one of them around to my son's doctors because it was information that was applicable and information that they may not have had access to in the past, and dealing with HD now, it seems to be helpful. But let's talk about your forum, because that was one of the things I really enjoyed looking at. How do you sign up? How do you post? How is that going for HDSA?
Well, it's been going very well. We have two separate forums. We have a general forum, and then we have a special forum for the NYA, the National Youth Alliance, as well. Anybody can sign up for the regular forum. The NYA forum, you have to be an NYA member, and that is, and you get your membership to the forum through Minelli Perez, who works with me in my office and who does incredible work and is responsible for the website being updated on a daily basis.
Great.
You mentioned earlier. We found that people were interested, even though there are some great forums out there, and, of course, you know, the HDAC forum and other ones, that there were some people who weren't familiar with them or just wanted to be on a new one. So basically, if you just go to the website and click on the forum button, or you can go straight to forum, forum.hdsa.org, you will see the HDSA forum listings on the right-hand side of the page. You can either log in if you've already been there or register. It's a very simple registration process, username and password. We're not collecting any data whatsoever. And then you can post. And although anybody can just read the forum if they want to without registering for it. For the NYA, it's a little more complicated. You have to become a member of the NYA, and then Minelli will send you a username and password, because obviously we want to make sure that only NYA members are in that that particular forum.
Now, are you sending out email blasts about the forum? Or
We've done from time to time. You know, one of the things in my office is a communications calendar, and I can literally tell you that there's not a single day of the year, well, during the week, even sometimes on weekends, when we don't have email blasts going out. So one of the things we're trying to do is kind of temper them, make sure we're not repeating the same thing too much or we're not getting boring. The other thing is that when you register with the HDSA website, which you can do on the homepage, you can also tell us what you're interested in. And then you'd only receive email blasts about those particular topics. And so, you know, if you're really interested in advocacy or research, you get those. And if you don't care so much about events or something like that. But so, you know, whereas these are ongoing and we do make people aware of them from time to time, we're trying to be a little bit more sensitive to not hitting people over the head, if you will. but it's out there,
right,
and it's very active. It's
and you have about 3 seconds to grab their attention in an email, right?
Exactly, yeah, you know. So,
right. And you're using Constant Contact for some of that?
No, we have a proprietary website system that's built on open source, and we have the email blasting capability out of that. In fact, we started back in January. We now also have websites for all 39 chapters and affiliates, and each of them also can build their own email listing, so that way when if they want to send that email blast of a local concern or nature, they can do that easily. We do that from national as well right now for the chapters, but we're moving over to give the chapters more control and more power to do that kind of thing. So
that's great.
Just another way we're trying to increase.
And you're supporting the website?
We support all 39 chapter and affiliate websites. We have training sessions for the chapters where there are volunteers who are interested in taking care of the website, where there aren't, Minelli and I take care of it. But it's very exciting because it gives a voice in certain places where they weren't before. And localization is very, very important. With press releases, we always do them locally because local papers and TV and radio stations are much more interested in local stories. And it's the same thing with websites. So it's just part of the evolution of our communications program.
That's wonderful. Well, let's talk about social networking. That's kind of a big thing today. You're on Facebook and Twitter.
Yep, absolutely. We use social networking to, you know, to augment our website. I mean, one of the things we want to do is we always want to drive people to the national or now the chapter websites because that's where the vast array of material is. And also, selfishly, if you go to a social networking website and you see, oh, there's a Team Hope walk in my area, which is great, and it leads you to the Team Hope network within our website so you can sign up for the walk. Right. I also want you to say, oh, look at all these other events going on in this area, and isn't this interesting about the research and things? So whereas we're very active in social networking in terms of events, advocacy, information in general, we always try and drive everybody back to the national website. And that's the same thing with Twitter, the idea being, you know, capture people, let them know something exciting is happening, and, you know, come here for more details. And certainly some people who are very active in Facebook, it's a way to reach them who might not take the time to go to our website on a regular basis. So, you know, it's another great resource that what I like about it is it's immediate and cheap. And,
real time.
You know, because we are very frugal with our dollars.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the whole digital revolution has been great. Yeah, not just for us, but obviously for any nonprofit.
Right.
I can reach, you know, 100,000 people by email for practically nothing. You know, to send 10,000 letters out costs me a fair amount of money in terms of the printing, the postage, and you know, the people putting them together. So we do everything we can digitally to get the biggest bang for our buck.
To be a better... better received, I think, now. In past days, it wasn't. But I do notice that you still have to contact people in real life. When you send out an email and you ask for an RSVP, it's still a little iffy if you're going to hear back from somebody, just because not everybody sits on their email like I do or like some other people do. You know, some people may check it once a week or whatever.
Right, yeah, exactly, yeah.
So you never know. But it's good to have all these different ways to communicate. It's just the technology is amazing. Have you ever considered doing an app for HGSA?
You know, it's a possibility. Again, you know, it's a question of dollars and, you know, it's something on our laundry list of things we'd like to do.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, let's talk about live events. Convention's coming up. That's exciting.
Yeah, the convention is just, if you haven't been to an HGSA convention, I was very fortunate. I started working, I want to say, like June 3rd, and June 5th was the first day of the HGSA convention.
Oh, wow.
I could not have gotten a better education in Huntington's disease than just being at the convention. I mean, I think it accelerated my learning process by not even 1,000, by 1,000,000 or something. You know, for 800 people to come together, family members, clinicians, social workers, you know, and to participate in the workshops that are put together that are fantastic, and the social events where they can share their stories. And for a lot of these people, it's the one time a year they get to be with their friends and kind of let their hair down, if you will, and enjoy themselves without any, you know, the worry about someone's going to think I look a little strange or something like that.
Right.
Really, you know, as a big deal, I always say to people that the educational program is there's nothing like it any place, but the social aspect of the convention is just as important. And very excitingly, we have, as you mentioned last week, we have scholarships available for people who have never attended a convention before. Again, if you go to our homepage, you'll see a notice as to where you can click through to get the scholarship application. If you have not attended a convention, I strongly suggest that you fill out the scholarship form and send it in. Covers airfare or mileage as well as hotel and registration. But the convention is just a fabulous event. The chapters and affiliates also put on great educational events throughout the year. All of them have a focus on clinical trials as well as other relevant topics, and have some great speakers. Most of them have a speaker from the HD Diplomat program, which Deb talked about, which are members of the community who have participated in clinical trials, so they can really give an understanding of what it's like. And then we have our fundraising events, which are a lot of fun and are very necessary to keep all these programs going. The Team Hope Walk program is grown to, I think we've raised over $2 million. We have something like 75 walks coming up this year. Again, hgsa.org, 75, I believe, growing all the time.
Well, ours is on May 21st at Waller Park in Santa Maria, everyone.
Hey, there you go.
Yep.
And to register for it, go to hgsa.org/teamhope and click on the map, and you'll get the details as to how you can register to participate or make a donation or both. We've got the Hoopathon program, which is, you know, kind of when we talked about the views earlier in the in the show. I mean, you can't say the word Hoopathon without thinking of BJ and Brian, Emily, and Debbie, and what they've done. And those are fun events where people go and shoot free throws for people who've donated money and things. But then we have everything. We have golf tournaments. We have lawnmower racing. We have paintball. We have, it's like every year something comes up when we said, oh, we thought we'd heard of the craziest event yet, but, you know, this is it. And then, of course, we have our Celebration of Hope events, which are done in all the 21 chapters that are near one of our centers of excellence, and those are specifically to raise funds for the Center of Excellence programs. And then those tend to be more, I don't want to say formal, like you have to get totally dressed up, but more dinner or cocktail hour kind of events. And, again, those are very important because they make it possible for us to maintain these 21 fabulous facilities around the country.
Right.
And but anything else. And then we have what we call the third-party events. Somebody calls up and says, oh, I'm running in this marathon. I'd like to raise money for HD. Or I'm climbing this mountain. Running
in the Himalayas.
Exactly. So so anything anybody wants to do, you know, we're there with them. We support them. We'll be happy to give them information, make sure things are being done accurately, and support them. And it's a great way to get more people involved who've never heard of the disease, may not even know anybody who has it.
Right. Now, what are genetic movements? CAG repeat events, what is that?
Well, there are a bunch of diseases that, that like Huntington's, are caused by CAG repeats in your DNA. And so, you know, we work with other organizations that work on those on those particular diseases. I mean, you know, Parkinson's has it, Alzheimer's has it. There's a number of dystonias and palsies that have it. So just as we partner with other HD organizations, we partner with other organizations that are also the root cause of their disease is the same as it is for HD.
Oh, that's great. Now, May is coming up here, very important month, HD Awareness Month. What's planned for May?
Well, May, it is HD Awareness Month, and it's a great opportunity for people to make more people aware of Huntington's disease. We have kind of a three-pronged program. Locally, as we spoke earlier, we have a very concerted effort to get coverage in local areas about families in the areas that have HD, and also the Center of Excellence in local areas, and where we have researchers in particular areas. So the local chapters and affiliates are reaching out to the press to explain to them why HD is important and to give them samples of some families, individuals, and then professionals who work in the HD area for their stories, because that's what the local press is there to do. They're there to talk about somebody in Denver or in Keokuk, Iowa, or in some place like that. And so, we can get really effective coverage there. We also have a program called In Your Genes, which is something where companies, if you make a donation to HDSA, companies will allow you to wear jeans to work on a day where they might normally not have a casual dress day or something. So that's something that someone came up with the idea, and it's been very effective. And so it's nice because it's not only is it a fundraiser, but it makes people more aware, and it's a good way to distribute information. And then
so
on
the
a national,
employer donates.
I'm sorry.
The employer donates.
Oh well, no, but the individuals in the company make a donation, and that gives them the right to wear jeans that day. But in most cases, the employer actually does a matching grant. Many of them already do that. Many companies have matching grant programs where if you make a donation to any nonprofit, they will match it either a percentage or a totally. But this is another way to do that. So that's another local thing. And then nationally, we've really been pushing the idea of why Huntington's disease is relevant to everybody, not just those who are affected by the Huntington gene. With the advent of genomic medicine, where everybody in 5 years or so is going to kind of get a genomic scan and say you've got a 23% chance of having this, a 16% chance of having this, Huntington's families are facing what everybody else is going to be facing very soon. Mm-hmm. And since we are kind of the prototype disease in that there's only one cause of Huntington's, the mutant gene, unlike other diseases where there are multiple, they may have a genetic component, but it's not the only one in the neurological realm. So we've been reaching out to the national press, and Charles Sabine and I, in collaboration with other people, have been working on a video piece about why HD is important to everybody, not just those in the community. So that's going to be the focus on the national side. Reached out to the national press, big health writers at the major newspapers, magazines, television networks, and the hopes of getting coverage for HD.
Great. We need that national outreach for sure.
Absolutely.
So what do you envision for the future of HDSA and for the HD community?
Well, I think we're going to continue to evolve and expand. There'll be more information. There'll be more clinical trials. There'll be all kinds of things. There's a new tool called FIRST, which is being developed to more accurately gauge the progression of the disease. We're facing now with the TRACK-HD findings, where you can see striatal shrinkage 20 years before the onset of symptoms. We're looking at a whole paradigm shift of how the disease is dealt with. We're no longer going to be probably talking about symptomatic or pre-symptomatic, but, looking at the disease from birth onward. So there's going to be a lot of things that come out of that in terms of how the community adopts it, what it means for genetic testing, certainly for more clinical trials coming down the line. So at HDSA, we're doing our best to stay on top of everything that's going on.
Will that kind of close the bridge between JHD and HD, do you think?
I think so. I think to some extent, certainly, because as you know, the CAG repeats on JHD, and the acceleration of the disease is much greater than in regular HD. So, and I think it'll certainly will hopefully bring us some answers and things. So, you know, there's a lot to do. There's, you know, more technology to use. We want to become even more interactive than we are now. And I would hope that anybody listening to this who has any questions or any thoughts or whatever contacts me directly at ftaubman@hdsa.org or 800-345-HDSA. Because this is a collaboration. It's a collaboration between the scientists, between the clinicians, between those of us at HDSA, and most importantly, between the families. So you can't eliminate any one segment of that group and still be successful. So,
right.
You know, that's the way we look at it, and we hope to... Actually, we hope to be actually put out of business. Obviously, that's what we always say, that, you know, our ultimate goal is a world free of HD, and there is no need for HDSA. But, you know, there's a while before that will happen, and until that happens, we will continue to focus on whatever information's out there and whatever services our family needs and do the best we can to deliver them.
We certainly appreciate everything that you're doing for HDSA, and more importantly, what HDSA is doing for us, the families, the people who are suffering from HD. And I've said in the past, you know, time is of the essence. I have this great urgent need to, you know, get as much information out to the HD community as possible. And is there anything else that you'd like to add that we haven't covered on the show tonight?
You know, we've covered so many things, it's hard to say. Again, visit the website, call us, send us your ideas, what you like, what you don't like, where you think we're missing, and
right.
We'll continue to do what we do as best as possible.
Thank you so much. It was a great show tonight. Thank you, Fred.
Thank you, Melissa. It's a pleasure.
And we'll be in touch. And
absolutely.
Appreciate all your work. Take care
Thank
and
you.
Have a great night.
You
Good
too.
Good night,
Bye-bye.
Everyone. Bye-bye.